go.
Well, I recorded you saying go now, but hey, to the people who listen to this show, apparently there's about 30 human beings who do, as of this being the fourth episode. This is Brash, and my homie Chimichanga is with us, but not...
What's up?
Yeah, not in the physical sense that he normally is. The podcast equipment that I have enables us to do things remotely, so instead of having him come all the way to Colchester or me driving out to where he lives with the equipment, we're just going to do it on the phone today. And that way, we satisfy our 1 hour, my YouTube channel grows a little bit. Basically, Jeff, I don't know if I even want to put it on, I absolutely do. I want as many years on this as possible.
I'm there in spirit.
Yeah, you're here in spirit. But yeah, we got to move this stuff onto Spotify and stuff. I think the first three episodes that we did came out pretty fucking good for two schlubs who don't, you know, we don't do radio.
Kind of figuring it out.
Yeah, and
I think it went pretty well.
Yeah, I think it went pretty well too. So, yeah, let's get the show started. Yeah! Woo-hoo-hoo! Yes! It's the Brash Show! All right, I'm not doing that anymore. That's going to be... I've done that on the other episodes as well. That was the first time that I've done it. I said it the last time, rather, that I was going to get our own thing produced and put it up there. And that's still true. It's just that I've been working.
I say we still keep using that for a little while because I think it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, because it like, you know, who needs a theme song? We just chit-chat. We're doing the chit-chat for an hour. People either listen to it or they don't. Just keep it moving. Who says we need a fully produced pile of shit for them to listen to, you know? Might as well just be kind of hodgepodge all over the place. So, to recap, we did go down to New Haven for the Disco Biscuit show on June 5th.
Yes, we did. How did you like it?
I fucking loved it, except for losing you. Jesus. That was like... So we're there at the venue. What venue did we even go to? I don't know what that place is.
It was the Westville Music Bowl. It's the Yale tennis stadium where they would have all the tennis matches at.
Oh, okay. That's why I didn't know that place. I remember going in there and being like, this is bizarre. I don't feel like this is normal, but I don't know. You know,
I like the venue. I thought it was fucking tight.
Yeah, it's a cool place, but apparently people have been complaining about...
Oh, how loud it is?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Just not cool. You know, it's just... Like, how are you going to be next to something that big and then expect silence? I mean, you're in a major city. Was that like a pop-up thing? So it was designed for tennis, but now they have big rock concerts there, like the Disco Biscuits? I don't understand.
Yeah. Yep.
Is that like a COVID thing? Like, this is what we're going to do while COVID's going down. Giant rock star-filled concerts over here. Or, like, how did it... I just don't understand, you know?
I think that's basically how it got started. Like...
Yeah.
Like, COVID precaution-safe outdoor venue.
Right. So, in order to keep people alive who do entertainment, they're like, all right, we'll just do shit outside. You know, it didn't even occur to me that show that we were going to was going to be outside, and then I got there like, oh, we're going to be outside. I mean, what would have happened if it rained? We would just got wet.
It's rain or shine, yeah, but you get wet. Bring a poncho.
I did see some Disco Biscuits footage where they were just straight up playing in the rain.
Yeah, wow. I've been to, yep. Out of 135 shows, a few of them I've gotten rained on.
Holy shit, are you really up at that many shows for them now?
Yeah.
Holy fuck. Jesus. That's a lot, man. Yeah, you earned your Disco Biscuits tattoo. So, I don't know. When was the first time you saw them?
First time I saw him was Camp Bisco 5,
yeah,
which was August 25th, 2006.
Wow, you even know the date, 2006. So that's when your deep love and appreciation of the Disco Biscuits began.
That's where it, like, started. I went a whole year without seeing him.
Oh,
like, I saw him at Camp Bisco in 2006, and I saw him in Camp Bisco 2007.
Okay, so it was like
But then that's when it freaking took off. And
yeah.
and you were crazy. Like,
I'm going to go to this every opportunity I have. I love these people. I love this band. They never do the same thing twice, which I got to say.
No, so, they don't.
I'm such a rap head that
they keep it fresh.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what all, you know, all entertainers should actually aim for that. There's a plethora of ones that don't. Like stand-up comedians, there are stand-up comedians that don't ever retire material. Jerry Seinfeld's been, you know, traveling around the United States doing the same hour of bullshit.
Well, I mean, how, like, stand-up comedians do it is they'll go through a whole tour.
Yeah.
And, like, try out different jokes. And then, like, the last show of the tour, they'll film their special and use all the jokes that hit the hardest, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's some comedians, but Jerry Seinfeld's notorious for just... Like, I went and saw him...
about that airline food.
Yeah, exactly. I saw him at, I think it was 2008 or 9, and I remember somebody being like, I just saw him, and he did the same exact thing. It's like a... For him, it's like a play. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I learn my monologue, and then I go out there, and I repeat it verbatim. You know, over and over and over again. And he hones that.
There's a lot of mainstream bands that do that same thing where they'll go through a whole tour and play basically the same set list, give or take two or three songs.
Right.
And just to perfect it or whatever. But Biscuits go out on a limb and take risks every night. And
I'm pretty sure that's why they hold such a big audience, because what's more interesting, you know, something you've already seen before or something that does something different every time you see it, you know, like when I do my rap stuff, I'm just rappity, 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 rapping at people, you know, and they're taking it in, which is cool. But for the most part, I mean, I switch up the song order, but is that really like, you know, that's nothing like what the Disco Biscuits do. Fresh material every time. Without question, you know?
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. But there was only one instance where I kind of felt like it was backfiring on him, and I can't tell you what it was. I know that we were here and it was a pay-per-view because they were out west somewhere and Barber just was not up to snuff. And we had the chat. We had the chat open and everyone was like, Barber is not on his A game right now. This is not.
Hey, you got to take the sweet with the sour.
Right.
I mean, they're taking chances, so you know sometimes they're gonna fall apart. But for the most part, they're fucking beast.
I've had bad sets before. I got booed off stage once. Did I ever tell you about that?
No.
All right, this is gonna be a good one. So, I had when I started my rap career professionally. I mean, you know, my entire childhood that I can remember, I was always, you know, writing something. You know, it wasn't always music. When I started getting older, I got into like writing raps when I got into high school. You know, graduated high school, was going to college, and every band I was in kept falling apart. I was a drummer, and one of the things that occurred to me as well, if every band, you know, it's like, hey, I'm getting into this to be serious about it. I'm going to put my best foot forward and I'm going to help this band take off and I'm going to do music full time. That's my dream. Yeah, that just kept not happening because people are finicky and, you know.
Yeah, everybody's got to be on the same page.
Right. And that it's hard to do that with four people, especially like in your late teens, early 20s when people are just figuring their shit out. Like what you want on Monday isn't going to be the same as what you want on Friday. You know what I mean? Things change real quick during that era of your life. So, yeah. And when I decided to commit to rap music, I got a manager who was also like one of my college roommates. And I lived with him on an off-campus apartment from CCSU. And I don't know if I should say his name. I mean, I'm not gonna diss him, but it's just I don't want people annoying him, you know. Because he did help my career tremendously. Like I got to open up for like Jurassic 5 and Method Man because of him. You know, I opened up for Afro Man.
Okay, give him a shout out.
Yeah, okay. Hey, Rick Bober, thank you for everything that you did for me back then. You planted the seed for me to be a YouTube guy who gets 30 views a week. But anyway,
sounds like a solid dude.
No, he's a good dude. Yeah, I don't have anything bad to say about him at all. The only thing that happened was he had a different mindset than what I was expecting. I was somebody who was like, I just want to be a hip hop head. I want to, you know, make a splash in the local rap scene. I want to book tours and I want to tour this music. And back then my music sucked, but I was able to, you know, finesse a local label by, you know, being decent at freestyling. Like I freestyle rapped over some beats and stuff. And they heard a couple of songs that they were like, oh, this potentially could go somewhere, do something or be something. So, you know, they signed me to a bullshit 360 deal. And Rick was there like, yeah, I'm going to book some shit for you. So he booked me to open up for Sugar Cult. Do you know who they are?
No.
Well, they're like a band that no rapper, they just don't have the audience for a rapper.
It's not different.
It's like emo music, I think.
You know? Okay.
I'm not a Sugar Cult fan at all, but I opened up for them. I didn't get booed off stage. I think this was actually worse. Opening up for Sugar Cult, going out to an audience of probably somewhere in the ballpark of like 300 and 400 people. Nobody hated me. They just didn't love me.
They just wanted to see who they came to see.
Right. They were like, we're here for Sugar Cult. And then I come out there 22 rapping about drugs or whatever. Just not the vibe. But they were polite, I guess. They just stared at me. I performed for him for 30 minutes, and yeah, it was nothing. It just wasn't, you know. But so all right, so I got booed off stage because I opened up for Marquise Houston. You know who that is? He's like an R&B singer.
I don't know who that is either.
All right, well, Marquise Houston and Omarion, they're both R&B singers. They're not. I'm an underground boom bap punchline, you know, I'll pop shots at your mom kind of a rapper, or I was then. I am kind of now. I don't know. However you want to define my style, I'm not going to sit here and do it for you. But yet another inappropriate booking brought to you by my good friend Rick Bober. Anyway, so now that Sugar Cult audience was all indie kids and stuff who were, you know, oh, we really like acoustic guitars and, you know, sad songs about our feelings and shit. And, you know, they're not mean to people because they don't have that reflex. They're very in tune with their own emotions and shit, I would say. But, yeah, Marquise Houston and Omarion fans are mostly teenage girls. That's what the audience was. It was about 85 to 90% all teenage women. I don't know if you teenagers are, I don't know. You know, like
wanting like, to see this, what's his name? Marquise? What?
Marquise Houston. So
Marquise Houston.
Yeah. So I am really good friends with a rap group or collective or whatever you want to call them, Crooked Minds. There's three members of them. I don't need to run down the members. They're underground. If you're into
them, them I've heard of.
Yeah. Well, you heard of them through me. I would assume.
Probably.
They're, you know, they're big in the underground hip hop circuit or were around here. They've been kind of inactive the last few years, but everybody has because of this COVID bullshit. But anyway, the dudes, were like, yo, it was working with the Webster. I had to sell tickets and shit for all of these shows. And the two before that, I didn't sell enough tickets on my own. So I was like, hey, guys, how about we split the pot of tickets?
Oh, you had a certain amount that you had to
I didn't have to.
Get
but
to?
I mean, if you want the exposure and stuff, you know, they wanted me to sell the tickets. So that's where I was. But, you know, how many times you and I have been friends for the longest time, but I can't, every time I book a gig, I can't just assume you're going to go to every show that I do. And it was turning into like once a month, I'd open up for like a big artist and I'd have a stack of tickets to sell and I'd sell fewer and fewer. And my friends would be like, you know, this is getting a little old, man. I know that you know how to perform and I know that you're good at it, but I just saw you open up for such and such or whoever, like, you know, not even 30 days ago. And you're pushing another ticket on me for like, you know, $30 or whatever it was. So I got Crooked Minds and I was like, hey, how about you guys open up for me? I'll sell the other half of this. We'll do this, get up on stage. And it's, you know, it turned out we sold like no tickets because we weren't smart enough to know that our fans and Marquise Houston's fans do not mesh. So, but
you still got to perform though, right?
Yeah. They were still like, go out there and open up. for them. So Crooked Minds actually sold more tickets than me, come to think of it.
They're a collective, aren't they?
Yeah, they're a collective, but I think this bit them in the ass in the end, because they were like, hey, bro, we sold more tickets than you. You're opening up for us. So I went out there first.
Oh, that was, hold on, that was a deal? Like, whoever sold more tickets got the headline
right spot? Right, but the reason that they were on the show is because I split my amount of tickets with them, but then they, you know, it doesn't matter. We're talking about something that happened like 12 years ago. But yeah, it turned out that I was going to open up for Crooked Minds. So I went out there, I did my set, and they didn't hate me. I had one song that actually went over really well, this really corny, stupid song that's long retired and nobody will ever hear again, because of a contractual dispute with my old label. It was called Sex on an Airplane. And that song was really funny and it was catchy and it actually ignited the audience for a few minutes. But we had like a split set situation deal going on with Crooked Minds, who were very kicky.
What do you mean split set?
Say you have 30 minutes, we split that in half. So I do 15 minutes of material and you do 15, a split set. So we split the set in half.
Okay.
All right. So Crooked Minds comes out right after I'm done. I'm having like a positive reaction and I'm performing with them. But now the audience is not enjoying what's going on because the beat selection is dark. You know, they're there. They want somebody to take their shirts off and dance around on them like a male stripper. Like, that's what Marquise Houston does. That's what Omarion does. These guys are like sex symbols, you know what I mean? And this is an audience of teenage girls who, you know, they want that.
Probably have horrible taste in music.
Yeah, they do. But, you know, hey, if you like tofu, which I don't know why anybody likes tofu, you've got a right to that. You also have a right to pay for it and not have somebody be like, here's hamburger in your face, you fucking idiot. You know what I mean? And that's what we did. So,
I mean, okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? You should get what you pay for. They think they're going to get, you know, Marquise Houston and Omarion, and they certainly are, but they get us first. We were like the surprise, we're here for you. What the fuck is this?
So, well, that's their problem. You know, there's always going to be people like that, like, who don't give a fuck about the openers and, like, I'm just here to see that, like, they probably, most of them don't even show up until the headliner goes on.
Well, yeah, Crooked Minds.
But then there's always other people who take the time and, like, give it a chance.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They gave it a chance.
I've discovered some really, really awesome bands as openers, like.
Yeah. That's a fact of life.
This one band was called Strike Him Centurion, and they opened up for Mogwai.
Mogwai, I'm not familiar with them.
But. Yeah, they're a prog rock band from Scotland.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
They're fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah, I'll check them out sometime, but yeah,
but
so,
this other band that opened up for him was fucking insane.
Yeah, I believe it, but I'm trying to tell you about how I got booed off stage, so I'm going to do that
go
now.
Ahead.
Yeah, so Crooked Minds comes out instantly, fuck you, fuck this, rap, right? And I'll never forget there was a lady in the audience, a black girl. When I was up, I noticed her. She didn't hate me, but she had the stank face on a couple times. Like, what is he doing? You know? And I remember I noticed her and I went, yeah, I'm not winning her over, but, you know, there's like 300 other people here or whatever. 400 people, I think it was total. So all these people are like kind of getting down to me. And then Crooked Minds comes out, fuck you, that girl. I saw it spread like a virus, like COVID-19, like if you could visualize how COVID-19 spreads with people coughing on it. You know how they show you those infographics on CNN? Like, it goes to this person, and then this person infects 8 more people.
So everybody just started hating on it?
Her hate spread through the audience. And I was still on stage. I wasn't rapping when this started happening. But I remember my buddy Dorian, he's on stage, and then just a quarter, reporter flies out of the audience and hits him in the chest. And I'm like, huh, someone just threw a quarter. And I look out and that girl's tapping on the on people's shoulders and doing the thumbs down. No, boo them. I can hear her or see her mouthing, boo them, and pointing at us.
Boo them. This man.
Boo. Yes, exactly. Boo this man. And then it just started happening. And it wasn't just the booing. I saw quarters flying. I saw chewed gum flying at us. Somebody threw a battery at me. It like, I just remember it like hitting off this off of my shoulder.
At least they weren't their own beer bottles.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Like if
I've seen that happen before.
If it was like a really raw rap concert and they did not like your spit, like a do or die situation. There are some rap audiences like that. If you're out on stage, you better be ripping it or we are going to pursue destroying you in every capacity possible. You know what I mean? It's just what can happen. Yeah, it's really bad shit. But yeah, got booed off stage. I remember leaving the side door and all of them being like, God damn it! God damn it! And that was it. That was it. It was a magical... I didn't even mean to do that. It was a magical moment. It was...
You finished your set out, though, right?
No. Well, I finished my part, yeah. But like I said, it was... They sold more tickets, and then it was a switcheroo. Last minute, oh, we'll go second. And it turned out to be, hey, if they went first, I wouldn't have even been able to perform anything. But I had a really good reaction during that Sex on an Airplane bullshit. It's just, you know, the rest of it was not good for me. But what are you going to do, you know?
Can't win them all, bro.
No, you can't. I wouldn't want to. Jesus. Imagine if the opposite happened, and instead of it being a, hey, you got booed off stage situation, it was a, wow, you got so many fans, and now Marquise Houston is your best friend. Wouldn't make any sense. It wouldn't make sense. I don't know.
Or he hates you because you stole his thunder.
Yeah, right. I don't know. Fuck it. So what did you do today? It was a beers by the pool day or what?
Did some work outside in the yard.
Yep, yep. Made the yard look all nice. Would you did you use a rake today?
No, I didn't use a rake.
No rake. How about a hose?
No rake. I definitely used a hose.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good.
It's getting dry out, man. You gotta water. Gotta water your shit.
We just got a bunch of rain. Why is it dry? It's just that time of year.
It wasn't a beneficial rain. It was just like a little bit.
What is that? A dusting of rain? That doesn't make any sense because it's not snow. What is it?
What?
A sprinkle? A sprinkle of rain? It wasn't enough?
Yeah. Not enough.
Yeah. Well, it's coming. Don't worry. The big flood is coming. You and everyone you know will drown because God loves you. Yeah, Jimmy. Yeah. I lost you for a second, huh? What the fuck, man? You gotta be kidding me.
what the hell just happened?
I don't know. It said that you were calling on the other line, so I switched back over to you. What are we having? Technical difficulties over here.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah, well, whatever. I'm connected to you now, so. So it's all good, bro. It's all good. But, yeah. So, we're going to have some guests soon. Yeah, I'm really looking forward, like I talked about, Holcomb coming on.
Hello? Oh, hey, I'm back.
Yeah, I never even knew that you were gone. What, do you keep losing signal or something? Or what's going on with you?
No, I think, like, my cheek hit the phone, and it somehow started to call you on a... I don't know what the fuck happened.
So you did that twice. Yeah, that was weird, because it said that you were calling while I was on the phone with you, so I answered it, because I was like, oh, he must have dropped the call real quick. At least he was smart and he called back immediately. But no, it's you.
No,
hitting,
I was still on the line, and then somehow calling you, like,
yeah, because
twice. That was weird.
Pressing the phone against your face. Yeah, that is a design flaw.
Put it on speaker. It'll be better.
That's a design flaw when you think about it. Let's make a touch screen, and then let's make them put the touch screen up against their touchable face. And screwing up podcasts and the continuity of it all. But, yeah, speaking
of... I got you on speaker.
That's fine. But speaking of audiences that are ruthless, you ever see that Gathering of the Juggalos shit, that Tila Tequila woman? She got rocked.
Oh, how so?
She was on stage performing. She does music, apparently. I'm confused about her. I don't get what her thing is, because Tila Tequila, when I first heard of her, was when MySpace was a huge poppin' thing. She was, like, the most popular person on there, her and Dane Cook or whatever. Then she was right. in an Adam Sandler movie. She was, like, a sex person in there, you know. What is it? I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, I think it's called, where Adam Sandler has to pretend to be gay.
Oh, yeah, it's, yeah. Sandler and the dude from King of Queens.
Yeah, I remember...
Kevin something?
Yeah, that guy. You know, MySpace was really popping at the time, and she was one of the first e-celebrities or whatever that I noticed, and I remember seeing her in that movie, you know, being sexy, jumping around with a bunch of girls, because the whole thing was like, oh my god, this guy gets so much pussy. How could he pretend to be gay? You know, that was the whole thing with that movie, and she was in the beginning as one of the sexy ladies, and it was the first time I ever noticed a internet celebrity getting any kind of a thing, and I remember thinking, oh, that's going to be an attack vector now for people who want fame with no talent. They're just going to, you know, get famous on Facebook or whatever, and then, you know, that's how they do it. It, you know, don't write a song, don't make anything that's worth it for anybody. Well, I guess she wrote a song, but the songs were not good to me. Not anything that I'd listen to.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever listened to a song by Tila Tequila.
Yeah, it's not good. It's pop BS, and it's not the good kind of pop BS either. Not that there really is any good pop, really. I mean, there is, but it's all like older shit. I don't know what I'm even trying to say, but yeah, she got the inappropriate booking with Insane Clown Posse, and that was it, man. She got fucked up. I don't know if I can play audio with you on the line. Let me see if I can.
Wait, how do you mean fuck? Did people throw shit at her?
Dude, they fucking split her shit open. They fucked her up.
Like, blows?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
She got jumped, is what you're saying.
She was on stage, and people started throwing shit that was hard at her, like beer bottles and shit like that. Hey, tell me if you can hear this. Can you hear the audio?
No.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah, that's the drawback. But this, she's performing to the audience who can hear it. It's just, this is exactly what I got. She's performing. People are starting to throw shit at her. Oh, and she's lip syncing too. I just saw her take the Uh-oh. They're throwing shit at her. Security people are pointing in the audience and stuff. Yeah, I don't really need to play like the audio, especially when you can't hear it. But
now,
dude,
I'm just gonna pull it up on my own.
No,
computer.
don't do that, because I don't wanna fuck up the stream, bro. But yeah, I'm telling you, she's on stage waving her hand around, smoke
my
in the audience.
My phone.
And your computer? Yeah, do it on your computer. It's worth it. It's definitely worth it. She gets destroyed, bro. Like, in the face, it's gnarly.
And, is it on YouTube?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, everything's on YouTube. YouTube is the thing. That's why it's, you know, I'm seeing like, oh yeah, get the podcast on Spotify, do all this, pay money. It's like, well, why wouldn't I just use YouTube? Because YouTube is, you know, I've got the same amount of bandwidth as CNN as soon as I put a channel up on YouTube. Oh, and by the way, I got my own URL now for YouTube, because I qualified. Enough people listened. You have to get a certain amount of hours or whatever, like 100 hours of people paying attention to it.
Yeah. Well, okay. I just searched it. All I wrote was Tila Tequila, and it says Tila Tequila Juggalos Attack.
Yeah, so that's the one I was just looking at. Yeah. Yeah, check it out. Why don't you let it play while I keep talking? Now we're hearing it on his side of the fence.
Should I mute it?
Yeah, well, barely, but there's nothing to really hear. It's just, you know, her standing on stage, the smoke. It's like a dark... Yeah, she gets fucking rocked, dude. It's like no joke. She went to the hospital and shit. It's like a 4-minute video or something. But yeah, she's...
Yeah, I'll mute that.
Yeah, she's she gets just destroyed. But yeah, it didn't come to that. But I, you know, people don't like it.
Holy shit, they're shooting fireworks at her, dude.
Yeah,
holy
I know.
Shit.
Yeah, she got fucked up, bro. No joke. It's dangerous to be an entertainer if people don't like you. You know, I mean, what is she doing wrong, really? She's just performing music nobody likes. Why is that an offense? You know, why?
The first concert I ever went to, it was Cypress Hill opening up for Limp Bizkit, and Limp Bizkit played with like a chain link fence cage, like all the way around them. It was at the Tabernacle in Georgia, Atlanta.
Really? You saw Limp Bizkit?
Yes, I did.
And Limp Bizkit opened up for, wait a minute. No, Cypress Hill opened up for Limp Bizkit?
Correct.
That's so fucking bizarre to me.
Oh, it was such a great show.
Oh, I imagine.
Pulled somebody from the stage and took out a 6-foot bong and had the dude rip it. I remember the dude's name was Axel.
Nice.
And they had the crowd chant fucking like, Axel, Axel. It was fucking sweet.
Yeah, it sounds like it had good... A show with good energy will always leave a good memory on you, you know? Because I've got memories of shows where I showed up and everyone was just kind of like, It's like, what the fuck? We're doing a show. Come on, everybody. The energy matters.
Yeah.
But yeah, she got fucked up, bro. Yeah. Don't get booed off stage. Fucking sucks. Insane Clown Posse are a bunch of fucking weirdos. You ever hear that song that they did about, like, how magic the world is?
Man, I'm familiar with a few of their songs. I remember, like, back when I first heard of them, the album was The Great Malenko. That's the one that sticks out in my head.
Yeah. Well, I don't know their material at all. I just remember that Aaron, this kid that I grew up with on the school bus... You know how, not to bring back any negative emotions from the 90s, but they used to call you Bootleg Beaner?
Bootleg Beaner. Yes. I remember that.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's because you look like my buddy Aaron. And it wasn't, it wasn't racist. Aaron wasn't Mexican. We were just stupid kids, and somebody called him Beaner.
Yeah, I don't even know why they call him Beaner.
Yeah,
they called him Beaner. And then it rolled over to me because I kind of looked like him.
Yeah.
So I was Bootleg Beaner.
Well, you were Bootleg Beaner because you sat next to him on the bus. I remember that. I was there. And then everybody, I think Zach somebody pointed at you and said, Bootleg Beaner. I'm pretty sure. I'm like 99% sure it came from him. But
No, that came from Schitt's Crew.
Yeah, that does sound like a Schitt's Crew thing.
It came from Schitt's Crew, yeah.
Well, Zach kept it alive by using it for his own nefarious purposes. Fucking asshole. But I remember him pointing at you and saying it. And you were never actually upset about it, so I don't know why I prefaced it with, you know, hey, I don't mean to bring up bad memories from the 90s, but you never cared. Yeah. He was the one, Aaron was, who initially introduced me to Insane Clown Posse. And I remember... Okay. Listening to the Discman with the headphones on and just, what the fuck is this bullshit? I didn't think it was good. I remember just being like, I'm not down with this. This is the dumbest thing.
What's their record label? Psychopathic Records?
Yes. Wait. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was more into like Suburban Noise, like Cottonmouth Kings,
equally as corny, yeah, but you know, different flavor.
Equally corny, but better in my opinion.
Like
because they would always tour together, so it'd be like hand right. in hand. Yeah, but
to me, they're kitsch.
I always
you know?
Lean towards the Cottonmouth Kings.
Yeah, to me, they're like real kitschy, like kitschy rap music that has like a gimmick. I mean, if you have to put on makeup to in order to do with something, God damn it.
They're very gimmicky.
Yeah, it's not cool their gimmickiness. To me, I don't like it. Like I was just saying before somebody tried to call me and boop boop, which you couldn't hear.
Mm-mm.
There are two, if you have to put on an outfit to do your music or whatever, it's just you're not a believable source to me. It's just you're not. I don't know. Skip that shit. But yeah, they had this song that came out recently that got roasted by everyone, and it had a really bad music video too about like how do magnets work. I just remember that was like 20 years after Aaron had let me listen to that CD on the bus in like 1997, and I'm like thinking about all the things that I have done with my life since I heard that CD. You know, I've gotten a high school diploma and 2 degrees after that. I've gotten married, I've gotten divorced, and like I've had children, and my life has changed significantly in tons of ways. And the entire time though, these two guys have consistently put makeup on their faces, called themselves clowns, and made songs about how wonderful nature is, and you know, asking questions that really matter, like, you know, how do magnets work? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good shit. Like, how can you deny? How can you not be down with a clown? But I'm telling you, they have the best fans ever. The people who love their music and go to their shows, they all support, they all buy shit. They're all about like family.
They're all diehard.
Yeah.
Just like Biscuit fans.
Biscuit? Oh, you know what I was thinking of because you brought him up? I was thinking of Limp Bizkit. And I'm when you're like, you know who else is a diehard? Limp Bizkit fans. That's where my brain went. I'm like, nobody loves Fred Durst. They all hate him. Behind blue eyes.
What happened to that dude?
He's just a millionaire who hangs out. That's what I would do if I was Fred Durst. You made all that money. You know. Making all that money.
He's keeping on the download, dude.
Yeah, fame is fucking useless unless you're using it as a tool for something. I mean, who gives a shit? You know? Oh my God, people know who you are and you don't know who they are. Like, what benefit of that is it to you unless you're a movie star, you know, or you want people to buy your merchandise or whatever? You know, fame should be like a secondary result of work that you've done. It shouldn't be like the focus of it. Right? I mean, I think
it should be like the president. You get an 8-year term and you get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good.
No. Because some music is fucking timeless.
Right. Exactly. I mean, Limp Bizkit. Oh, they're just incredible. I'll be jamming on them for 1,000 years, Limp Bizkit. Just that Fred Durst, he's such an amazing...
For the record, when I went to that show, I was going to see Cypress Hill.
Right, and you were also probably, like, what, like 16, 17 at the time or some 16, shit?
16, yeah.
Yeah, so... I mean, I'll forgive you. Because at the time, nobody really grasped... They didn't understand the fact that Limp Bizkit is the penultimate cornball music of the 90s, you know? So Fred Durst doing what he does is... excusable to the extent that people
he did it all for the nookie.
Yeah, yes, here is a man who did it all for the nookie. I battled somebody once and they said that during the battle.
Did they really?
To me, when I was still I was at the end of being a fat man, I was starting to lose the weight. I went to I battled at Bella Terra, a music festival. They were doing it, and there's a
Bella Terra. Yeah, where was that?
It was in New York, but like
upstate?
Right Yeah, well, I'm a little confused about it because it's actually the Massachusetts border into New York. Like, the next town over from where I was Massachusetts somewhere, but I was in New York. And okay. I know the area because remember that drive I told you about I used to take between Ledyard and Albany all the time back in what I like to call the day?
Yep.
Listening to Fat Albert tapes. I used to drive right through there, but instead of keeping going to Albany, I would get off of this. I got off of this exit and I battled a rapper named Miller, but it was not your typical battle where you insult each other. You know, you want to know what kind of battle this was?
Compliment battle?
Yeah, fuck yeah, you guessed it. I thought you were gonna go and not get it, but yeah, it was a compliment battle, man.
That's cool.
I hope your mother lives a long and healthy life.
I bet you it's harder to do that than to talk shit on people.
It actually was, like, when I was writing the material for that battle, it was very challenging. It was. But if you, it was on a, in like a cow field, so I'm probably one of the few rappers there has ever been who battled in a field complimenting another man in front of a herd of cattle. I swear to God this exists. I'm not making it up. It was with the 413 Battle League, if you're really that interested in it. But yeah, you know, I think I actually lost the compliment battle because this dude was like, he's so hip hop. He's like, if Tupac finger popped Maya Angelou's box, and he was going off on this whole tangent and actually using the language. And I was saying stuff like, you're mad cool, bro. Your head is like Hank Hill's shape and size. But I didn't say that to be rude. I think that's something cool. And I just realized, you know, and I wasn't really putting together good rhymes for that. I wish I did. I wish I actually spent more time on it.
Why is it easier to, like, make rhymes about shitting on people than it is to make compliments about them?
I actually don't think it's easier. It's the same thing. You know, it's taking a subject and then making rhymes about it. But yeah, the reason that it was hard is because I had a real battle that day, and then I had the compliment battle. So I had two battles in one day.
So you had to switch it up.
Yeah, and I got smoked by illiterate. Dude, it was such a loss. I mean, it wasn't that bad. Somebody watched it and was like, hey, man, you held your own. You definitely lost, but yeah, you know. But illiterate's really nasty, too. And an awesome guy. I legitimately think he is an awesome person. I love talking to that cat. Don't see him enough. I only bump into him probably like, Jesus, since the before the pandemic, probably once or twice a year, but post pandemic, I haven't actually seen him since the whole bullshit started. But we're at the end of it now. The pandemic's over. You heard it here first on the Brass Show. It's done. No more masks. Everybody start coughing directly into each other's mouths and faces. just get it done. We got to get society moving. We can't be all locked up in our houses being afraid of the boogeyman anymore. We got to go out there and do some fucking shit. I'm telling you.
Go out there and spit in other people's mouths.
Yeah, go out there, lick some fucking doorknobs. Hock patooey all over everything, you know? Like a squid with the COVID. I spray it and run away. Yeah, there's some momentum for the whole lab leak theory now, too. You know, we already touched up on this, but when Donald Trump said it, everyone went, fuck you. Fuck you and your fucking orange tan. But there's apparently some credence to it now, which means China might catch a lawsuit. I don't know. I don't want to put out, you know, like anybody's going to look to the Brass Show for any kind of authority on anything in this situation. But China's but fucking
you're,
weird.
You're talking about the possibility of it coming from lab.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not the possibility. To me, it seemed like the most logical thing right away. You know,
it seems plausible.
Yeah. Unless
China fucking owns up to it, there's no way for us to really know.
Well, I don't think that's true because they uncovered that three patients who were the first COVID patients came from the Wuhan lab. And there's all sorts of evidence now pointing at all sorts of shit. I can't remember what the research is
like
called.
Like I said, it's very plausible.
Yeah. Fauci knows all about it. That's the thing that really pisses me off. That dude who's telling everybody to, you know, hey, stay inside, lose your job. You know, let the world fuck you over. you know, during this pandemic. Don't do anything for money. Just keep being whatever. Good luck. You know, all that shit. He, meanwhile, I think it's called proof of growth or something. It's where they study how a disease jumps from one species to the next.
Right.
So apparently, this is what, it's either one of two things. Either someone went, oh, I'm sorry, and they dropped something, or...
Were they genetically engineered
a virus?
A virus that could
jump
over to another, to the human species.
Right, which that's possible too. I mean, it's either made in a lab, like a research lab, or what's more likely? Somebody went to a wet market and went, yeah, let me get one pangolin, and I want some of that there bat soup and some of them snake meats. Like, what do you think happened for real? You think that happened? Somebody went, this is what's
for dinner. Eat a bat and
yeah.
Start spreading it? Nah.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. You would have to eat a bat and a pangolin. Is that what happened? I'm confused at what even the lie is. Like, hey, we think it came from a bat bit a pangolin, and then the pangolin got hit by a car, and somebody picked the pangolin off the street and said, dinner. And they ate that, and then they coughed on each other. It just doesn't make sense, dude. You know? And the more you look at it, the more it seems so clear to me that China is in some trouble. I think they should pay some sort of restitution to the world.
That's not gonna happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because all their media and stuff is like, wow, Fauci, he's so good. He's such a good man. And then, like, it comes out that he was like, well, I can't rule out that it came from a lab. Oh, no! China don't like that. You know, they're getting...
They won't communicate with us.
Well, they do, but they communicate lies. Everything is bullshit. And then we catch them in lies, and they're like, ha, 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 no, no. Anyway, you know. Yeah, so what does it mean if China is deemed responsible for this whole thing? Like, what does it mean to the world?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Well, then...
What does it mean? What does it fucking mean? Does that mean that they're in trouble, or just nothing happens?
They'd have to take responsibility, I assume. But...
They would have to openly be like, okay, yeah, it was us, fuck you guys, in order for anything to happen to them. I mean, Trump...
And that's not going
to
happen.
Trump was a garbage president, but he did try to put some trade sanctions in there to at least even the score with China. Biden removed all that shit. I mean, even if you are, you know, I just love Biden so much and, you know, Trump was garbage, which is fine. That's a fine position. You're not wrong, but that's a bad thing to take away those sanctions and stuff. It's just, I don't know, man. I really feel like China is the source of so much just bullshit. Like all the cybersecurity attacks that happen in this country essentially either come from China or Russia, you know, the three big superpowers, and we're one of them. So it's, you know, I don't know, but I'm not really down with the whole notion of just saying, you know, oh, China, oh, well, like, I really want to know what could potentially happen. Not, you know, I'm not really interested in retaliating. I don't want to fart in their ching-dong bat soup or anything. It's just what I want to have happen is them to at least do something, you know?
Yeah, that's complicated.
I mean, America is constantly apologizing for bullshit it did to groups of people along the way. That's why we have Indian reservations. I mean, you know, let me walk that statement back a little bit. It's not like people who ended up on Indian reservations were happy about it at the time, you know, but there are some things that we tried to restitute as far as the evil deeds this country has done, you know?
Yeah, it's like giving them a sovereign nation.
Right. I mean, China could do something like that, right?
Yeah, but do you think they're going to do something like that?
They could give us COVID casinos? on their land, where it's like American run, like we go in there and we're just like, hi, hamburger, cheeseburger, hot dog. And the Chinese people are like, ah, this is great. We let them make money now because of that whole thing. They didn't give us any smallpox blankets. They just, you know, gave us a pangolin that was infected with COVID or whatever. But you know what I'm saying? There should be some sort of restitution.
Yeah, this conversation just reminded me that I have Chinese food in the fridge.
Nice. Yeah, I'm debating. After this, when we're done in about 10 or so minutes or whatever we're going to go for, I'm going to get, I think, a pizza for myself because my mom, you know, contacted me because my kids wanted to go hang out with her. So I surprise, I'm not with the kids tonight. I'm doing solo duty, you know. After that party, they're going to, I don't have to drive them back. They're getting picked up by my mom. And then I'm going to pick them up tomorrow. So I'm going to, I think I'm going to work on my album. Oh, in my music streaming show, I feel like an idiot. You want to hear something funny about that?
Sure.
Real quick?
Yeah.
So, you know,
I saw you post some stuff and it sounded like you had some technical issues.
Yeah, that's me. If you go to each episode, there's a technical issue. The first one is the first one of Brash. The show is called Brash Makes Beats. My YouTube channel is called Brash TV. Just put Brash, B-R-A-S-H TV into the YouTube search. Why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you subscribe? I mean, if you're 51 minutes and 30 seconds into a podcast where I've been yammering on with my buddy here, you might as well see what the channel's all about.
Smash that fucking button.
Smash that, diddle that like button. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, do that. But every single episode so far, and I'm just going to leave them as the years drag on, I'm going to do an hour a week of that show and things are going to improve. I'm going to get a better camera. I'm going to get a second camera because people can't see my hands. They just see me and they see the software right now. But yeah, first episode, you know, all sorts of, I don't know if this is going through. I don't know. Second episode, you can hear what I'm creating, but I didn't know the mic wasn't on, and I just left that on the channel. I mean, that's a big pile of shit. I would, you know.
What, so they could hear you making the beat, but they couldn't hear what you were saying?
Yeah, they can't hear me being like, yeah, I want to add a little snare to this, or, you know, whatever. I should EQ this way. Whatever the thing that I was saying that just was not going through. That one has a low amount of views because people are like, what the fuck is this? And I can see how long people watch every video for. I didn't know that was in the analytics because I'm still new to this. You know, I've been an internet user and nerd.
There's a record of that? You can see that?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Like the first one is, you know, the last episode that we had, episode 3, it already has 30 hours worth of people listening to it, which is fucking crazy. So, to me, that's, you know, cool. 30 hours of just combined time of people listening to us yammer on. I mean, come on. But, yeah.
That's tight.
Yeah, so the second episode, no mic. Third episode, something happened there, too. I can't remember what. And last night, I got the kids, you know, they're in their chill zone up in their rooms, reading, whatever. I'm like, all right, cool. I got an hour to myself. So I'm broadcasting for an hour or so, I think. I'm making beats, and I'm talking to the microphone much like I am now. Like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this and that and the third. And then I can see it streaming to YouTube from the encoder software on my computer to YouTube. I'm seeing all the data go through. It says the stream is great, but my stupid ass did not hit go live. So then I have people hitting me up like, hey, I thought you were going live at 7:30. So I did a
I am.
Yeah, and I'm like, what the fuck? And then the thing ended, but it still said I was scheduled for 7:30 because it never started. So I never met the scheduling. And I could watch the video back, but because I never hit the go button, it didn't save. It didn't DVR. So whatever, you know, server out on YouTube, I bet you it's cached somewhere, that lost episode. So episode 4 is called Episode 4 Redux, and I just did it like an hour before I started this. Which is a weird thing. I don't like these two. Like, I got two shows that I'm doing. The one with, you know, the Brash Show, which is just audio-only talk. and then the right. Let's Make Beats show, and then I'm just going to do random YouTube videos of whatever I feel like doing, whenever I feel like doing it, as like an aside, you know? And then I got my music right. up there too. I'm starting to add tracks and stuff, but it's like, goddamn, you know? It's like, goddamn, fuck it. Goddamn, fuck it. Shit. Oh, fuck. Goddamn, fuck it. Yeah.
Goddamn Mongolian.
You take down my wall, stupid fucking Mongolians. Still a fucking... It's just hilarious that they made him white. That was his whole thing. It's like, oh, he's just a white guy who's crazy and thinks he's Chinese. Stupid Mongolians, you took down my COVID. You took down my Wuhan, Wuhan Rab. Yeah. It's clear that I don't really care, but yeah, it's cool, you know. So we are going to get the podcast across all the other streaming platforms and stuff. It's just, you know, for now, we're just doing this. I think. All right. I'll get there. It's just a matter of, you know, filling out some paperwork and stuff.
Well, you're not coming to Philly with me, are you?
I don't know. What are the dates for that again?
July 9th and 10th.
It's coming up too quick, man. I got goals. I'm trying to buy my...
like a month away.
Yeah, I know. I got financial goals, though. What?
Yeah,
no, this guy's just not listening. He's like, no, you got time. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying money. You know, it's like, you know. Oh, speaking of, you owe me a little bit of paper Wahulu for the... Yeah, don't mention anything about it on the air. I'm just reminding you as it came to mind.
Okay, yeah.
I can give you another week if you want to wait for it.
No, I can give it to you right as soon as we're done with this podcast.
All right, that's cool. So, but yeah, oh man, that show! What a good show!
Oh, it's a great fucking show.
I didn't see. Well, let me take it back because we only saw that one amazingly hot woman walking with her guy, with how she was dressed. The booty shorts, we saw her in two places when we were leaving. We were like, oh, my God. And then when we were in the Uber. Oh, the ass. The ass. Dude, it was it deserved it. Nope, not that one. It deserved a round of applause. The ass.
Yeah.
That even the Uber driver was, he was like, oh, my God. Remember that? Like, the guy saw her and went, oh my God. And she was walking forward and like, wait a minute. Who was walking first? Was the guy, somebody was leading somebody, but I can't remember if she was pulling him or if he was pulling her. But
yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, but they were going to, it was just so clear that they were going to go back to whatever hotel and fuck. You know, you don't wear clothing like that and not fuck. That's clothing for fucking. That's like advertising as much to the person you're going to fuck as to everybody else. It's like going out saying, hey, everybody, we're going to fuck. How do we know? Because of what you're wearing, which is fucking basically nothing. Oh, so fire. I don't know. Our personality is probably dog shit, though. You know, I always think that whenever I see a woman who's just like dressed to the nines, top tier. Yeah, she looks great.
Well, they definitely want attention.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just, what are we really going to be into together, you know? It's like, okay, cool. And this was a problem with my marriage. It's like, yeah, we got one thing in common, and that's, you know, sex. But besides that, when I was married, it was like, oh, we don't really have anything in common, which now is like a huge, like, why would you marry somebody you have nothing in common with? You know, but yeah, if all you have is sex in common, the relationship is already in trouble. But I always think like, yeah, okay, she looks great. She's wearing great clothing and she just looks good. But if she doesn't have anything, now that I'm older and wiser, I know if the interests don't line up, how good is it really going to be? And the answer is it's fucking not, man. It just isn't. So, yeah. So we hit an hour of blither blathering. I don't know. What were you going to say, man? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say that, I don't know, you just got to find somebody you're compatible with. And realistically, some people never find that.
And that's okay. That's something I'm learning. dude, marriages and relationships and all that shit, it's a lot of work, man. People don't tell you how lazy. Like, I have a perspective you don't, because I've been married. You haven't, you know? But the whole thing is work. It's just work. The way I like to live my life, I like to come home, and if I eat a bowl of cereal and I'm tired, I'll just eat the cereal, drink the milk, and then I'll put the dirty dish in the sink, and that's where it will remain until the sun comes up, and probably until I get home from work the next day. You know what I mean? But when I was married, right, you know what's not, wasn't allowed? That. I would get the biggest piles of bullshit and grief. And you know what? My ex-wife absolutely had a fucking point. You shouldn't fucking leave dirty dishes in the sink. However, there's not really any consequence to doing so, except somebody else is annoyed with you. And then I'd get annoyed with her, and it sucked. I just hated being married. And I've had a girlfriend. That shit was annoying too. Because there's fucking concessions you have to make with every relationship. It doesn't matter what the relationship is. There's something that you have to give up. Like, you know, leaving your dirty socks on the floor is a luxury. You know, I'm just glad now that I have a bearing. Like, my life is my adult life. Nobody else is responsible for this shit but me. That is where my power comes from. I'm fucking powerful now. Yeah! No, don't laugh. Yeah! Fucking power! Yeah, we're gonna do that and we're gonna fuck. All right, well, we did the hour, man, so I don't know if you want to keep going or what, but I'm kind of running out of juice. And
all right, we usually end it off with a song, right?
Yeah, we're not doing that anymore because I got demonetized twice. I want to get paid for this shit, man. I don't want to, like, and that might actually stop us from being able to put the first three episodes up on other shit. Is that I paid? Well, I'm gonna edit them, I think.
Okay.
I think that's what I'll do, just because, you know, right now that band, the very first episode, they're getting all the revenue, which, I mean, it's non-existent at this point. 30 people listening. I don't have, you know, the ads enabled yet. I'm probably going to keep it pretty limited because the way I look at it, I'm just trying to draw people to my shows. You know, if I build an audience on YouTube or Spotify or, you know, any of the major platforms, the purpose is not to really make money from the platform. It's more to get people to start coming to my shows once I start doing them again. You know, I really want to get back out there, man. I think New Haven will have me. Maddie Cypher, what up? You know, that's really what I want to do, is I just want to start getting out there again, start performing, start hitting bars.
I know Stella Blues is having shows again.
Yeah, I should hit them up. It's been a while.
For sure.
I performed there a bunch. I think they kind of remember me. I think, I don't know.
Great venue.
Yeah, it is a great venue. I love drinking there. You know what we should do next time I have a show there? We should get a hotel. Because every time I've gone out there, I've like, this is the time of my life. And now that I'm not married, I don't want to run back to my empty apartment to go to sleep. You know, it might just be worth it to just cop a cheapy hotel out there.
Yeah, fuck it. We'll go to La Quinta. That place is tight.
The La Quinta.
La Quinta. Taco flavored juices at La Quinta.
At La Quinta. Yeah, it was a great time, so. But yeah, we'll get there, man. And yeah, this is where we're going to end it. This was the Brash Show. I don't remember. I think it's episode 4. But Jimmy, you got anything you want to plug or anything you want to say to them before?
No, man. I'm just excited to go see Biscuits in Philly next month.
Ooh, you know, since we can do these remotely, I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to get that cable so that I can hook the iPhone directly to it, and then I can play sound effects and stuff off of YouTube, because this show was a little dry without me being able to do that. Like, I wanted to play the Tila Tequila getting hit in the face. But when you go out to Philly, I should call you and we should do one of these, you know?
Yeah. What? Yeah, fuck yeah.
But yeah, next Saturday I'm going to have a guest, so I want you in person. We'll talk about it off mic, man, because this is boring for the people who actually tuned in for this long. But all right, bye, everybody.
Later.